This is Gifts of the Spirit, session number 3, May the 6th, 2003. We began in our last session talking about the gift of the Word of Wisdom. Let me remind you once again of what it is not. First of all, it is not the gift of wisdom. That is not correct terminology. It is the gift of the Word of Wisdom. And I'll explain later why I'm emphasizing that so much. It is not natural human wisdom. There is nothing about the gifts of the Spirit that are natural. These are all supernatural manifestations of the Spirit of God. Thirdly, it is not wisdom as a fruit of the Spirit. There is wisdom that is a fruit of the Spirit, but this is not referring to that. This is talking about the gift of the Word of Wisdom. Wisdom as a fruit of the Spirit is available to everyone. Wisdom, the Word of Wisdom as a gift of the Spirit, is not available to all. Verse 8, once again, says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the Word of Wisdom." To one. Not to all, but to one. And again, I shared with you that because you have the Holy Spirit within you, you have the potential for moving in all 9 gifts of the Spirit. The potential is there as the need arises. But you won't walk in all 9 gifts of the Spirit all the time. Now, I've been operating in the gifts of the Spirit since 1978, so right at 25 years. And in the gifts of the Spirit, I have operated, or God has used me in 8 of the 9 gifts of the Spirit over the past 25 years. The one gift that I'm not aware of that I've flowed in is the gift of the workings of miracles. The other gifts of the Spirit, I have flowed in all of those at one time or another in some way, form, or fashion. And I will say to you, and you'll discover that this will be your experience, that over a period of time, God may use you in a number of the gifts of the Spirit, but there will usually be 2 or 3 that you will be used in predominantly. I know, for instance, when God started using me in the gifts of the Spirit, God used me a lot in the gift of the Word of Knowledge, and God used me a lot in the gifts of healings. Now, God still uses me in those gifts, but nothing like what He used to say 20 years ago, or 22, 23 years ago. And I have discovered through the years that in being used in the gifts of the Spirit, the emphasis has changed in that God uses me now more, for instance, in the revelation gifts of the Spirit, Word of Wisdom, Word of Knowledge, discerning of spirits. God uses me more in those gifts now than He did back then. Even though He used me back then in those things, I'm used more now in the revelation gifts of the Spirit than I am the gifts of healings. When back then I was probably used in gifts of healings more than any other gifts of the Spirit. So they'll change, and as the needs arise, you'll discover that God will use you predominantly in 1 or 2 or 3 gifts more than others. And a lot of that depends on your call and your anointing and the need and the situation that God places you in and so forth. It just depends on a lot of different factors and a lot of different circumstances. But you're not going to walk around just manifesting all 9 gifts of the Spirit all the time. So, let's talk first of all about the fruit of wisdom, because I want you to see the difference. The fruit of wisdom, let's talk first of all about how it's received and developed. It is received in 3 different ways. First of all, it's received by the Word. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Let's just run some references here. Joshua chapter 1. This is a classic scripture.
What did you say?
We're taught Joshua chapter 1. And we're talking about receiving the fruit of wisdom. We're going to distinguish that between that and the gift of the word of wisdom. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. God is speaking to Joshua. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." And the literal Hebrew in the last part of that where it says, "thou shalt have good success," the literal Hebrew says, "you will deal wisely in all of the affairs of life." So as we go into the Word of God, it will give us wisdom, or the fruit of wisdom will begin to be developed in our lives. But this is not the gift of the Word of wisdom. Turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Again, we see the fruit of wisdom that comes from the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 130. "The entrance of thy words giveth light." So this fruit of wisdom produces light. "It giveth understanding unto the simple." So again, the fruit of wisdom comes from the Word. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice in verse 15, Paul is writing to Timothy and he says this. He says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So again, the fruit of wisdom comes from the Word. It's developed through the Word. Secondly, it is developed through prayer. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 7, we have the classic scripture where Solomon asked God for wisdom. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of your enemies, neither yet has asked long life, but has asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like." Now look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus. And again, this is not the gift of the word of wisdom. This is the fruit of wisdom. It comes from the Word. It can also come from prayer. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul prays for the church. Well, actually, let's back up to verse 15. He says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So he prays that the church would receive wisdom and revelation. This is the fruit of wisdom. This is not the gift of the word of wisdom. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Notice here in verse 9. Again, the Apostle Paul prays for the church at Colossae. And he prays this concerning wisdom. He said, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So again, he prays for wisdom. This is the fruit of wisdom. One last scripture, James chapter 1. Notice here in verse 5. James 1:5, the Apostle James says this, says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him." Notice that in asking or in making this statement or in making this promise, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all liberally. This wisdom is available to all. But to one is given the word of wisdom. So again, this is a fruit of the Spirit. The third way you develop the fruit of wisdom is by walking in love. The first way is by the word. The second way is by prayer. The third way is by walking in love. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 5, Moses, the lawgiver, is giving instructions to the nation of Israel, and he begins to talk to them about the commandments. Now let me ask you this question. What is our commandment? To walk in love, right? And the Bible tells us that as we walk in love, we will fulfill the law, right? So with that in mind, read this not so much as referring to the law of Moses, because I want you to catch the principle. Read this as referring to walking in love, because that's our commandment. Verse 5 says, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." So as we begin to walk in our commandment, which fulfills this law, walk in the commandment of love, then that love becomes our wisdom and our understanding. That is a fruit. Actually, the fruit of wisdom is an offshoot of the love of God. Let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 23. Our commandment is what? Walk in love. All right, verse 23. "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." So as we begin to walk in the commandment of love, it begins to release the light of God's wisdom within us. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. We looked at this Sunday morning. at the instruction of the Lord. And I want to suggest to you that if you did not get Sunday morning's tape, particularly if you were not here, you ought to get it. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. The Apostle Paul prays for the church at Philippi. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." And as I said to you Sunday morning, that word judgment would have been better translated as the word discernment. As a matter of fact, you may have that as a cross-reference in your Bible. To discern. Okay, that is a more accurate translation. Let's look at one more scripture. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 7. 1 John 2 and verse 7 says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now." But watch verse 10. "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light." What is the light? It's the wisdom of God. "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." So you have the love of God as the foundation for walking in the fruit of wisdom. Just as kind of a side thought, you can look this up on your own time, but I suggest to you that at some point you look at 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, which gives the characteristics of the love of God, and look at James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, which give the characteristics of the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 gives the characteristics of the love of God. James 3, 17 and 18 gives the characteristics of the wisdom of God, or the fruit of wisdom. And if you look at those two verses or two passages of Scripture, you will discover that they are very, very similar to one another. Because wisdom, or the fruit of wisdom, is the offshoot of the love of God. Now again, this is not the gift of the Word of wisdom. This is the fruit of wisdom. It is developed by the Word. It is developed by prayer. And it is developed by walking in love. All right, let's talk about the gift of the Word of Wisdom. Let me give you the definition of it. The gift of the Word of Wisdom. This is the definition. The gift of the Word of Wisdom is supernatural revelation of the purpose and plan of God. The gift of the Word of Wisdom is supernatural revelation of the purpose and plan of God. Now, you might want to look at your syllabus on page 10. It gives you a definition that will coincide with what I just gave you. Page 10 on your syllabus, some of you are still writing, supernatural revelation of the purpose and plan of God. Page 10 of your syllabus, number 4, gives you the definition of the Word of Wisdom. From the school standpoint, the supernatural manifestation of the Word of Wisdom occurs when God sees fit to reveal His own mind and purpose and plan to man in a supernatural way. That's a pretty good definition. Pretty good definition. But it is the supernatural revelation of the purpose and plan of God. Now, I had you take note of the fact that it is not the gift of wisdom, it is the gift of the Word of Wisdom. The reason that that is so important is because of the fact God knows everything, right? He knows it all. God has all wisdom. And what He does in this gift is impart a word or a fragment or a portion of that wisdom to you and me. It's not all wisdom. It's a word. It's a part. It's a portion. It's a fragment of God's wisdom imparted to us of the purpose and plan of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:9 that we know in part and we prophesy in part. So it's vital that you understand that it is a word of wisdom. It's a portion. It's a fragment. It's a small piece of God's wisdom that is imparted to us. Now, let me give you three, or let me just say this to you. When someone begins to receive or minister a word of wisdom, it will go from the present into the future. It will go from the present into the future. If it's revelation, especially if it's revelation concerning the future, it is the word of wisdom. Okay? Now, there are three characteristics of the gift of the word of wisdom that's very important. First of all, do I need to wait up a minute? Do I need to repeat something? It goes from the present to the future, that? All right, and there's three characteristics of the gift of the word of wisdom. Three characteristics. Number one, the gift of the word of wisdom is predictive. As a matter of fact, when somebody begins to give a word of wisdom, most people, particularly if it predicts something, I mean, if thus saith the Lord God, in 10 years, this and this and thus and thus and thus and so is going to happen, most people will equate that with prophecy. But in reality, what it is a word of wisdom because it's supernatural revelation of the purpose and plan of God. Now, just for the sake of clarification, we need to realize that the word prophecy is used on two different levels. First of all, the word prophecy is used in a general sense in referring to all supernatural utterance. I mean, the book of Revelation calls itself a prophecy. So in a general sense, all supernatural utterance is called prophecy. But when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, the word prophecy is very often used in a very restrictive sense, in that a true word of prophecy contains no revelation. It contains no revelation. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14. Let's find out what prophecy is for. Prophecy is one of the gifts of the Spirit. This is in the restricted sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Notice here in verse 6. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 14:3. The gift of prophecy in verse 3. But he that speaketh unto men speaketh, or but he that prophesieth, I'm sorry, let me read again. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. There's not any revelation in it, in the strict sense of the use of the word as a gift of the Spirit. Now let me explain what I mean. If I go to Thad and I say to him, "Thus saith the Lord, in 3 years I am going to move in your life in such a way that you will not even be the same individual that you are now. I'm going to bless you so abundantly in the financial realm. I'm going to bless you so abundantly in monetary areas that you'll be rolling $100 bills and using them to light your fireplace with." Okay? Now what would that be? That'd be a word of wisdom, wouldn't it? Because it dealt with the future. In 3 years, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Correct? But now, if I said, "Thad, thus saith the Lord, I am with you. I will not fail you. I will not leave you. I am on your side. The Lord says He will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord says, I am bringing you through the circumstances that you're facing in this day and in this hour, and I am causing you to succeed." What's that? That's prophecy. There's not any revelation in it whatsoever. It exhorted, it edified, it comforted, but it didn't give any revelation at all, right? So the simple gift of prophecy or prophecy in the restricted sense contains no revelation. But when we are dealing with the gift of the word of wisdom, it is predictive. It deals with revelation of the purpose and the plan of God. Am I making myself clear on this? All right. The gift of the word of wisdom, first of all, is going to be predictive. I'm going back to the three characteristics. It's going to be predictive. Secondly, it is going to be directive. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Y'all getting cold again? Everybody else cold? Everybody else comfortable? Well, alrighty then. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Notice in verse 10. He said, "If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength." Now what's the last part? "But wisdom is profitable to direct." So when God gives you a word of wisdom, it can be predictive. It can be directive. For instance, "Nicole, thus saith the Lord God. The Lord says, if you'll get up and run around the building 3 times, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing there's not room enough to receive." That's directive, isn't it? That's giving some instruction. "Nicole, you need to get up and run around the building, and then I will do this." So, the word of wisdom is predictive. The word of wisdom is directive. Thirdly, the word of wisdom is explanatory. In other words, many times in the word of wisdom, God will explain why He does certain things. This goes back to the purpose and plan of God. Let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, let's begin reading with verse 2. We are looking at the inauguration of Solomon as king of Israel. In 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 2 said, "Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren, and my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. In other words, I had in my heart to build the temple. Now watch verse 3. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Now that's a word of wisdom. He's telling them, it's not my purpose that you build my house, and here's why. You have shed blood. Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever, for he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. And all of my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, 19 in all, if you're wondering. For the Lord has given me many sons. He has chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. That also is a word of wisdom. God told David, Solomon is the one that I've chosen. Solomon is the one that will build the house. Solomon will be a man of peace. You've been a man of war. You're not going to build a house. So the gift of the word of wisdom is predictive. The word of wisdom is directive. And the word of wisdom is explanatory. I mean, if somebody gives you a word, you know, I said, Sister Jessie, thus saith the Lord. The Lord says, I have brought you through many trials. I've brought you through many hard things, many difficult situations and circumstances. But I have brought you through those things so that you could be a light and you could be a beacon to those around you, so that you could reach out and minister to others in their pain and so forth. I am explaining why you went through the things that you did. So that would be a word of wisdom. Okay? So it is predictive, it is directive, it is also explanatory. Now, let me just give you some ways that that gift can manifest. That gift can manifest through a dream or vision. God can give you a dream or vision concerning His purpose and plan or the future. He can do it in a dream or a vision. He can do it in a prophetic utterance. That usually is the predominant way that it comes, and it can be a prophetic utterance that's either to you, I mean, like the examples I was given here, where somebody calls you out and says, Thus saith the Lord, or and begins to tell you what God is going to do, or directing you, or giving you reasons why certain things have occurred. It can be a prophetic utterance that is to you. It can also be a prophetic utterance that is through you. There are times in prayer, maybe, where you're praying and seeking God and praying in the Spirit and getting before God, and God gives you a word. I know when I was praying at Club Victoria, God, what are we going to do for a building? The Lord spoke up on the inside of me and said, You're not going to build me a house, I'm going to build you a house. That was a word of wisdom. Because that was declaring the purpose and plan of God, and it was also declaring what God was going to do in future events. So there are times when God will give you a word of wisdom. And again, it's a fragment. I remember I had been out praying in the Spirit in San Angelo, and the Lord spoke to me, and this was like, if I remember correctly, something like September of 96. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, You're moving. You're leaving San Angelo. That's all He said. You're moving. And I didn't know where, didn't know how, didn't know what He was going to do or anything else. And I can remember walking through the door and telling everybody. Mark was there, Nicole was there, Cindy was there, everybody was home, and I walked through the door and I said, I don't know what's going to happen, but we're moving. Well, God worked it out, but that was a word of wisdom. So it can come in a prophetic utterance to you, it can come in a prophetic utterance through you. Brother Hagin says something very interesting about that in his book. Let's look at this for just a second. Page 102. page 102, where Brother Hagin's the paragraph that says prophecy can be a vehicle through which other gifts can flow. Let's look at that. Said the prophet of the Old Testament had to learn the word of had to have the word of wisdom and manifestation in his ministry to be able to stand in the office of the prophet, because he made predictions concerning the future. And the simple gift of prophecy does not include with it the element of predicting or foreseeing into the future. The prediction the Old Testament prophet gave, even though it came by prophecy, was actually a word of wisdom in operation. For example, you may ride in an automobile, but that does not make you an automobile. In other words, sometimes a word of wisdom is conveyed through the vehicle of prophecy, but it really isn't prophecy in and of itself. It is a word of wisdom. In other words, prophecy can just be the vehicle through which the word of wisdom comes. The simple gift of prophecy is listed in 1 Corinthians 14:3 is given for edification, exhortation, and comfort. There is no element of prediction or foretelling in the simple gift of prophecy whatsoever. Therefore, you can tell when an utterance is no longer just the simple gift of prophecy in operation, because it will include some revelation with it. When these elements of prediction and foretelling are in operation in one who is in the ministry, particularly in the office of the prophet, although the prediction may come by prophecy, it is really a word of wisdom and manifestation. This is particularly true if the prediction comes through a minister who stands in the office of the prophet. Prophecy, then, is just the vehicle through which the word of wisdom comes. I thought that was a very good explanation. There are times that the word of wisdom will ride in the automobile of prophecy. So, that gift can manifest itself through a dream, through a vision. It can manifest itself through prophetic utterance. It can manifest itself through the audible voice of God. I'll tell you another way that it can come. And this goes back to what we were talking about earlier out of 1 Kings 19, where the still small voice is concerned. Sometimes a word of wisdom can come just simply by knowing. You just know. I mean, how many discussions have we had among ourselves in the church concerning why all of us are here in Menard? Now, we may not all know why we're here, but there is a knowing on so many of us here in this church. We're here for a reason. We're not here because we necessarily want to be here. God has us here for a divine purpose. We may not know exactly what that divine purpose is, but God has us here for a divine purpose. That may be true whether it's Brady or Kerrville or wherever it may be. God has me where I am for a divine purpose. I am where God wants me to be. I am doing what God wants me to do. I am in God's perfect will and purpose and plan for my life. And that knowing on the inside of you is what carries you through today. And there's a lot of us that are living our day-to-day lives on a word of wisdom from God about being where we are. And a lot of times we're not even sure exactly why we're here or exactly what all God wants to accomplish, but we know I am positioned. I am exactly where I am supposed to be. So many times a word of wisdom is a word, but it also comes just through a knowing. That word of wisdom becomes That word of wisdom becomes a gyroscope that keeps us centered where we know that we know what we know where we are supposed to be. There are also times when the word of wisdom is released through the ministry of the laying on of hands. Now, this is very important for those of you that are stepping out in ministry to other people. There are times, let me just say this to you. This might help you. Most of the time, probably 95% of the time, when I call somebody out to give them a word, I don't have the foggiest clue what I'm going to say when they get up here. I don't know. I just have this drawing on the inside of me that I need to minister to that person. And I may know their name, I may not know who they are, but I'll call them out and they get down here. And I'll either take them by the hand or put my hands on their head. And there are times through that physical contact, when I make that physical contact, then I know. There's something about physical contact, particularly the laying on of hands. There is something about that that many times will trigger that word of wisdom that you can begin to minister through others. So many times that word of wisdom will come in connection with the ministry of laying on of hands. I realize this is a little bit off the subject, but the ministry of laying on of hands encompasses far more than just healing. There's a lot of things when a person is used in the ministry of laying on of hands, there's a lot of things that's triggered through that ministry. But I'll tell you, if you feel like God's wanting you to minister to somebody, or maybe that you have a word for somebody and it's not exactly clear, it's kind of muddled on the inside, if you can you know, call them over to you and then take them by the hand or make some sort of physical contact with them, you may need to pray in the Spirit a little bit. But there is something about that physical contact that it's like a springboard. It will begin to release those things on the inside of you. So a lot of times a word of wisdom is released through laying on of hands. A good biblical illustration of that, for instance, is when Jacob prophetically ministered to his 12 sons. You know, he was getting ready to die and he was pronouncing the blessing on the next generation. He would lay hands on them. And when he would lay hands on them, he would begin to prophesy concerning their future. He would begin to prophesy concerning the destiny of each tribe. And the laying on of hands triggered that word of wisdom. Well, we're going to pick it up here next time. We're running very, very close to out of time. We're going to pick it up here next time and finish up with the word of wisdom, then go on in to the word of knowledge and pick up on the rest of the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to break it off here and learn some other things concerning the word of wisdom. So, does anybody have anything else before we dismiss for tonight? Okay. All right. Well, we'll pick it up here again next week.